morning. Welcome once again to Sportsline. Simple but not evil, Norman de Mosquito with you. And our guest this morning is a man who's stolen a lot of this morning's headlines, Brian Lee, the manager of Wycombe Wanderers, the champions of the Rothmans Isthmian League, who yesterday did everything against the joint leaders of the First Division, Middlesbrough, except score a goal. I suppose if they can't score, they shouldn't win, but I must say I wasn't alone among the neutral observers at Lokes Park yesterday who thought that the result was a grave injustice to Wycombe. More of that in a few moments when we open the phones and ask you for your calls to Brian Lee. The number to ring is our usual phone-in number, 01-408-2033, and the lines are open now. In case any of you are calling in for the first time, a few words of advice. If you're lucky enough to find a line that's clear, you'll hear the ringing tone for some time before you're answered by the lovely Jenny Jass, who's in charge of the controls this morning. Then you'll be asked to hold on, and a few minutes later, you'll be through to Brian Lee. If you've got a radio on in the same room as your telephone, please make sure it's turned right down, otherwise we get some rather nasty noises coming at us through the phone. Right then, the lines are open, the number 01-408-2033, and in just a couple of minutes, we'll take the first call. But first, a look at the morning's news, starting with the fourth test match in Sydney, where at the close of play on the second day, England were 106 for 3 in reply to Australia's first innings total of 405. We got off to a fair start this morning, with Doug Walters leg before to Jeff Arnold for just a single, with only 4 runs added to the overnight 251 for 4. But then Greg Chappell and Rodney Marsh added 50 for the sixth wicket before Marsh was bowled by Tony Gregg. 5 runs later, Chappell was caught by Gregg off Arnold for 84, and with Australia 310 for 7, we were in with a chance of keeping their total within reasonable limits. But Walker and Lilly added 22, Walker and Ashley Mallett added 46, and the last pair, Mallett and Thompson, added 37 to ensure that Australia topped 400. England's most successful bowler was Jeff Arnold, who took 5 for 86 in 29 overs. Gregg had 4 for 104, Titmus, who didn't bowl today, 1 for 65. England got off to a fair start, with Dennis Amos and David Lloyd taking the score to 36 without any undue alarms, but then Amos was brilliantly caught by Mallett in the gully off Walker, and 10 runs later Lloyd was the victim of yet another brilliant catch, this time by Thompson at backward short leg off Lilly for 19. Lilly was the bowler, as I said, and he was involved in another scene with umpire Belaich at the end of the over, which caused the umpire to speak to Ian Chappell, the Australian captain. England lost the third wicket with a total at 69 when Colin Cowdery was beaten by the pace of Thompson and caught by newcomer McCosker at Sillimid On. But John Edrich and Tony Gregg held out to the close when England were 106 for 3, 299 behind. But so much for cricket, now a very brief look at this morning's sports pages, which are, of course, dominated by the achievements of the 5 non-league teams in yesterday's third-round FA Cup ties. Predictably, Wimbledon are referred to as the Wombles, and the Sunday Telegraph heads its report, Wombles Clean Up the Turf. Chris Kelly, the Leatherhead goal scorer, also captures some headlines, and of course, Wycombe Wanderers. Team that Jack built slithers on lowly ski slopes, as the Sunday Telegraph. But I really don't think they can blame the slope. As an unbiased watcher at Lokes Park yesterday, I thought they were lucky to survive against a side that played by far the better football, which is a cue to welcome our guest this morning, Brian Lee. Good morning, Brian. Thank you for coming in. Even after, you've spent the whole week saying you weren't going to win, and even after the game yesterday, you wouldn't agree that you were a bit unlucky yesterday.
I didn't think we were unlucky because I don't think we created scoring chances to win. I think it's as easy as that. Neither, mind you, neither did Middlesbrough. Therefore, I think the result was a fair one.
Right. Not even the header by Alan Phillips and the Steve Perrin shot on the near post early in the second half, which went so close.
Yes, I think we might have won on points in that case.
Right, well, a points win, but it has to go to a decider on Tuesday at Ayresom Park. Any problems with players getting time off? We were discussing this in the boardroom after the game yesterday and you weren't sure.
Well, we don't really know. We didn't honestly expect to have to go to Middlesbrough on Tuesday, and therefore the players won't know until tomorrow when they go to work whether they've got difficulty in getting Tuesday off, but obviously we'd like them to get away for the whole of Tuesday.
You anticipate travelling up overnight?
We'll probably travel up on Monday night and then train on Tuesday morning and have a loosener before the game in the evening and then come back in the early hours of the morning.
On a sleeper, presumably.
Yes.
Sleep on anything, I should think, after the game.
It depends on the result.
Of course. Right, well, let's turn to the phones. Brian, if you'd like to put your headphones on, you'll then be able to hear what the callers are saying. The number again is 01-408-2033. All 6 lines are, in fact, blocked at the moment. If you're hearing the ringing tone, it means that you're in the queue to be answered. We don't keep you hanging on longer than is absolutely necessary because, of course, it costs money under us with STD. And I'm sure some of you are ringing from Wycombe, which is a little more pricey than some of our callers from Highbury or the Tottenham area. But you will be answered eventually. If you're getting the engaged tone, all I can say is keep trying. As soon as you hear a caller go, then quick, get in. You might get the empty line. But let's say good morning to our first caller. Welcome to Sportsline. You're through to Brian Lee. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're through.
Well, I'm phoning from High Wycombe.
Yes, good morning.
And we just can't understand why Mr. Lee doesn't give the Wanderers more chance.
More chance?
You know, as a, from a supporter's point of view, we think we're very good supporters down there. We get very despondent that he doesn't give the team more credit for their success. And, you know, all the other non-league managers think their teams are win. And we just can't understand why he doesn't think our team will win.
Right, over to you, Brian. Why, a supporter who thinks you don't give the players enough credit.
I think I give the players credit to the players' faces, and I was very proud of them yesterday, and in fact said so. But if you are asked an honest question, do we think we will win against a side that was lying second in the First Division, I didn't think we had, and that is opinion that was mine. This does not mean to say that the players are depressed in any way. It meant that the players knew they had a very, very difficult task, and I think they did themselves credit yesterday. And in no way am I getting at the supporters, who I think are marvellous.
I don't think you're not criticising Mr. Lee in any way for having a go at the supporters, are you?
Not the supporters, no. We'd like him to try and boost the play. I mean, the supporters, we think they're going to Middlesbrough Tuesday to win. We've got as good a chance as them, we think, you know.
Well,
we'd like Mr. Lee to say so.
Well, good. What I don't disclose, of course, is what I say to the players. Because that obviously is something between the manager and his players.
I see that.
But you can rest assured we're not going up for the ride.
Good. Okay. Good luck to choose, anyway.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Right, let's move on to the next caller. Good morning. Welcome to Sportsline. You're through to Brian Lee.
If you beat Middlesbrough on Tuesday, have you got any hopes of beating Sunderland?
Well, the interesting thing, of course, is that we've got more chance beating Sunderland because they will be coming to Wycombe if we are successful on Tuesday. And why do I say that? Because I don't rate Sunderland as good a side as I rate Middlesbrough. And why don't I? Because I think they've got their minds on other things, and I think they've got a few star players, and I don't think they would cope with our problems in Buckinghamshire as well as Middlesbrough did.
Yeah. And even though they won the FA Cup, was it 2 years ago, do you still think that you can beat them?
Oh, I think we could. We've got a better chance. I wouldn't say we could beat them. I say we've got a better chance against Sunderland than we had against Middlesbrough.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You said during last week, I recall, Brian, that against a team like Newcastle or Queen's Park Rangers, teams with prima donnas in them, I think was the phrase you used, you would reckon to have a better chance than against a team as well-organised and as professionally organised as Middlesbrough. This is your point, is it?
It is a point, and I think that Middlesbrough are not, as we saw yesterday, not the most attractive side. They lack, I think, a fair amount of flair.
And a certain amount of skill, I think.
And a certain amount of skill, quite right, but they're very well organised. Now, I think this is the thing that Sunderland haven't got. I think they've got flair and individualism, and I don't think that they would cope as well, because they're not as well organised or as well disciplined, with all due respect to the manager.
Is there not always a chance, though, that this flair can upset your team at the back, whereas the more methodical, predictable Middlesbrough type of play, forward play, what there was of it, was more easily coped with by your own defence?
Well,
it can work both ways, can't it?
It can work both ways, but I think it is easier to cope with the players, the skillful players, if you have got a disciplined defender. And the discipline, really, is not to dive in and try to get the ball, but to worry and harass and not to get the ball and make the opponent make a mistake. It's as simple as that. And that this is one of the things we did very well yesterday.
Fine, let's move on to the next call. Good morning, you're through to Brian Lee.
Oh, good morning. My name is Fred Knopp of Worcester Park.
Yes, go ahead, Fred.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Lee.
Good morning.
First of all, congratulations yesterday on your splendid result. Firstly, for Wycombe Wanderers, and secondly, for the Isthmian League football. I'm a regular supporter of Isthmian League soccer. My club is Sutton United. And I've got really a two-part question. The first thing is, do you feel that there's been a general levelling up or down between non-league and football league soccer? And secondly, which I feel is more important to me at any rate, how do you feel that the Isthmian League can be improved?
Well, fine. Now, it's nice of you to come clean and say that you support Sutton United to start with.
Indeed. I'm a great follower of Tim Fowle and his merry men.
And as you know, you've got two of my personal friends in Ted Powell and Laurie Pritchard there.
Yes.
Two very good players.
I wish you could give them some advice on how to play well away.
In terms of the levelling up, I think that we are improving, but I think, unfortunately, the Football League is coming down, if one might say that, to our level.
Uh-huh.
And I think we're going up to Football League level. And as I've said many times this week, I think, ultimately, the third and fourth division are going to become part-time players. And I think this is a good thing. And I think it's a good thing because people have something else to occupy their minds. I think that part-time players have got an appetite for the game and are as well organised and as well disciplined because they're looking forward to what they're going to do and they apply themselves so much better.
Uh-huh.
And as far as improvement in the Isthmian League is concerned, I think we've got a great chance to become the most powerful non-league club. And I think the people who have asked, have we any ideas of going professional at Wycombe Wanderers? We've got no ideas, because it would be much better for us to be the top of a sphere we are in at the moment than to be bottom of a higher sphere, if one could say that.
You know, the thing that I always find rather difficult is for sort of Southern League clubs that travel hundreds and hundreds of miles to play in front of crowds that are probably less than Isthmian League crowds. You know, economically, it doesn't seem to be a viable proposition, you know, and I just wondered how they sort of get on financially.
Well, I think they struggle, and I think that football has got to start paying for itself. And I think we do this with a better atmosphere in clubs at the non-league level, particularly having been a manager in the Southern League and having travelled about a bit. It is much better to run a club that is much tighter in a tighter competition. And I think that also we are interested. We're very interested in what goes on at Sutton United. We're very interested in
any ideas on how we can beat Wimbledon next Saturday. I'm sure he'd appreciate it.
Well, he's going to phone me later today.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
Thanks for the chat. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Fred. So, let's move on quickly to our next caller. Good morning. Welcome to Sports Zone.
I'd like to know, my question was partly answered by your last caller, but after yesterday's results, I mean, you've been saying all the week you didn't have a chance, which I think was really a wrong attitude, but we mustn't go into that. You're the manager. But I was going to ask if there's been a levelling up. I was going to say, what do you put yesterday's surprises down to, like Wimbledon beating Burnley and Leatherhead beating Brighton? I mean, if there's not a levelling up, what do you put it down to? Just one of these things, or what?
No, I don't put it down to one of these things. No, I put it down to organisation, because I think that non-league clubs who are short of time with managers who think about the game just as much as professional, full-time professional managers, utilise their time to the best of advantage. I think professional clubs, in a way, have got too much time. I'm not saying I could solve the problem, but I think there's definitely levelling up, and I think that we can create, as it were, a surprise. It'll be very, very difficult, and with all due respect to what I have said during the week and everybody who said I was wrong in saying it, I did say it sincerely, because one must accept that the opposition are going to play as well as they're capable of playing, and if Middlesbrough had played as well as they were capable of playing, and remember I'd had them watched, and remember I saw them at Goodison Park against Everton last week, then we would not have won the game. It's as easy as that. But, of course, nobody, until late on in the week, asked me the question, what happens if Middlesbrough don't play as well as they can?
Ah,
and that's it, isn't it?
Yes.
And they didn't, and that's why we drew. And with a little bit of good fortune, in fact, there was no luck going in the game yesterday, in my view, but if there was a little bit of luck going anyway, and we got a bit, we would have been in the next round.
Do you think the slope on your pitch made any difference, or do you think that's all talk?
I think it's all talk. We only play on it every other week, you know.
It must be very difficult for you when you play away on some flat pitches.
So, my question partly was answered by the last caller. You don't think it's entirely a levelling up?
I think it's a levelling up. We're going up, and I think the Football League is coming down.
Uh-huh.
And I think that eventually, as I say, particularly third and fourth divisions,
yes,
we and the such leagues as the Isthmian League and the Southern League have got to be reorganised, not only from ability point of view, but as a feeder into the Football League, and also from a sheer economic point of view. For Telford United, my old club, to travel all the way down to Dartford or to Weymouth is a very expensive business.
Quite.
But our longest game, you see, our furthest match in our present competition, is to go to Bishop Stortford.
Now you've got the trip up to Middlesbrough.
And now we've got the trip up to Middlesbrough,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, economics do come into it. Well, anyway, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right, on to the next caller. Good morning. Welcome to Sportsline. You're through to Brian Lee. Hello? Is there anyone there?
Hello?
Yes, you're through. You got a question, young man?
Yes.
Right, off you go.
How much training that we can put in during a normal week? And did they do any extra training for the Middlesbrough match?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I'm not sure whether you're asking it because you thought we wanted more training or not. However, we trained during the week, and so far as we played training last Sunday morning, and then we had a game on Wednesday against Watford in a friendly game, because I believe it is better for players to take their minds off big matches to play than it is to train. And then we trained on Thursday evening before the game, and then in order to prepare for the replay, it is necessary to have a bit of rest. So we are only going to train a little bit on Tuesday morning before Tuesday night. Then we will train on Thursday in a normal way before the match on Saturday. So usually it's twice a week, Tuesday and Thursday evenings, in readiness for a Saturday match.
So there wasn't a lot of extra training last week, right?
No, as I say, I think the important thing is to take the minds off it.
A lot of it is psychological. It's like the slope, for instance. I should think, and I know the first time I ever saw that ground, I thought, good grief, how can anybody play football on that? And I should think when that Middlesbrough coach drove up the side of your ground towards the car park to the main gate and looked out of the players looked out of the window and saw that slope, it must have had an awful effect on them, I would think. And it could be that there is some sort of psychological effect on first sight of a pitch like that.
Well, I think, yes. On the other hand, our pitch is flat. At least the surface is flat. And we have one or two pitches in our league. We've got one, I mean, it's like a desert. You need a sort of a sand dyne on it. and I'm quite sure that Walthamstow won't mind me saying that in the old humour. On the other hand, I think that once you get on it, then you play in a normal way. Obviously, the best thing to do is to play parallel with the lines and rather than across the pitch, because it's difficult weighting the pass. Mm. If you're playing up the slope, then you don't hit it hard enough, it doesn't get to its target. If you overhit it going down the slope, then of course it's very difficult, because either it goes into touch, or if you stop it, you're racing down a hill hoping to control the ball and come up the hill in one movement, and this takes a fair degree of skill. So what we try to do is, if the ball is on one side of the field, we try to retain it there, and that's the very, very simple way of we do it. But we don't think about this is the important thing. We don't think about it, and I'm quite sure that Middlesbrough didn't think about it yesterday.
Well, one of my colleagues in the press seat yesterday suggested jocularly that Jack Charlton had 2 inches taken off the left leg of every one of his players, and the reason they didn't win was because they were kicking the wrong way.
That could well be true.
This is Sportsline on BBC Radio London. You're listening this morning to Brian Lee, the Wycombe Wanderers manager, and if you have a question for Brian, just ring 408 2033. And we welcome the next caller on 408-2033. Good morning, you're through to Brian Lee.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Did you think that Middlesbrough played on defensive yesterday?
Well, not having seen them the previous week at Everton, they tend to play with four players across the middle of the field and break from the middle of the field with only two players staying up. Now, this is foreign to us, because generally speaking, we play with three players in the middle of the field and three players up. And the Middlesbrough formation, of course, meant that it looked negative. But it looked negative, I think, only because we didn't allow them to play. They're a well-organised side, but on top of organisation and discipline, unfortunately, you've got to have individual flair, and we didn't exactly have a great deal of it yesterday. This isn't a criticism of it. I think it's because we didn't allow them to play. But on the other hand, it is very difficult not allowing your opponents to play, and also to play as you want to play yourselves. I mean, you obviously must respect your opponents, and we really did respect them yesterday, but you've got to win that battle before you can attack. And the battle was particularly hard yesterday for us, and we didn't attack as well as we would like to have done. We gave the ball away a little bit too much, particularly in the first half and up front. But nevertheless, this is why it resulted into a midfield struggle. Neither goalkeeper had a great deal of work to do. And one can say it's negative, but before you can be positive, you've got to win the ball.
I think Middlesbrough seemed to play ultra defensive yesterday because for a lot of the times Mills was up almost on his own up front, and then when they brought the substitute on, Willie seemed to take over as the single front runner and Mills was pulled back into midfield. It seemed that they were a bit apprehensive about the whole thing as I saw it.
Well, I don't think that was tactics. I think that was frustration on the part of Foggan. Foggan, if you know, was brought off. Now, there are some players who can stand around the field and not get the ball and it doesn't worry them because they blame other people. There are other players who go looking for the ball or go deeper, and this in fact is what Foggan was doing, and therefore he wasn't supporting the front player at all. He was going looking for the ball deep and not getting it, or getting it when he did get it, of course he couldn't do very much with it. But if one had seen him last week, for example, against Everton, picking balls up on his own halfway line and going at the Everton defence, it's a shuddering sight for any central defender. And I think that's one of the problems. That, in fact, is what I thought was one of our successes, that we forced them to go looking for the ball from up front. And with Foggan going back, of course, it is interesting always getting a forward into a defensive situation because
he's liable to do the wrong thing.
Right. And in fact, Foggan nearly let us in on one occasion, and Jack Charlton wasn't very happy, and as a result, brought him off.
Yeah. Fine, on to the next call. Good morning. Welcome to Sportsline. You're through to Brian Lee.
Hello?
Yes.
I'm a great fan of Wickham, and I'd like to know, or we would like to know, Brian's point of view of the match yesterday.
Well, I think we did what we wanted to do, and that was to make the opposition realise that we're in a game, and if they were going to win the match, then they really had to beat something. And as it so happened, I think that we did our job, and I don't think Middlesbrough did theirs. As I said just now, it's very difficult having brought the opposition down to what you want them to be. That is slightly negative, as somebody referred to them as that. And then for us to have the necessary attacking qualities, because we just, A, didn't have the time or the energy, but the time or the space. Middlesbrough are very quick, much quicker than us on the ball, and we were unable to settle it on the ball when we had it, and that is to interpass as we would like to do. But we did what we wanted to do, with possibly Middlesbrough not contributing as much as us to the game.
Can I ask you, Brian, about your timing, the timing of your substitution, bringing on Dylan Evans just 2 minutes from the end in place of Tony Horseman?
Two things. Then, first, obviously, we were in with a chance to keep the game alive and open. And we were there for a draw, and obviously one wanted to try to disturb any late rhythm that might have been coming as far as Middlesbrough are concerned, because certainly somebody said, who did you think the best player was on the side yesterday? And I said, Dylan Evans, because he was only on for 2 minutes.
Didn't make a mistake.
Make a mistake.
Right.
But that's basically the reason yesterday.
Fine, on to the next call. Good morning. Welcome to Sportsline. You're through to Brian Lee.
Good morning, Mr. Lee. Good
morning.
Congratulations on a fine performance yesterday.
Thank you.
What I was turning up about, I'm a regular supporter of the club, both home and away, and I myself and a group of my friends want to travel to Middlesbrough for the replay, and we wonder whether Wickham has made any travel arrangements for the fans. I noticed in Friday's local paper there was an article which said Wickham has made tentative arrangements to run special trains.
Well, thank you. Not only has the club not at this stage made any arrangements for the fans, we haven't made any for the players. We didn't anticipate we'd have to do it anyway. And, of course, today being Sunday, we can't make these arrangements until tomorrow. Having said that, one person did have the idea of making tentative arrangements for a train, but believe it or not, whilst the train is available, they can't get a crew for it. So if there is any Wickham Wanderers supporter who happens to be a train driver and can take on his crew with him, we'd be absolutely delighted to get as many supporters up to Middlesbrough as possible on Tuesday night.
Well, we've had some interesting things on this programme in the last 18 months. I don't think we've ever had an appeal for an engine driver before. While on the subject of replays, can I just say that Gordon Jago has been on the phone to us this morning, and there are tickets on sale for Tuesday's replay at Millwall against Bury, but only for standing, not all seats, as some people think, apparently, whatever that means. I'd imagine the seats are being held for A, for season ticket holders, and B, for Bury, who are entitled to a proportion of the seats available. There are standing tickets available at Millwall. So that's information there from Gordon Jago on Tuesday's replay between Millwall and Bury. But we immediately go back to Wickham Wanderers, Brian Lee, and our next caller. Good morning, welcome to the programme.
Hello. I'm a Wigan Wanderers supporter, and I'd like to know how much longer Wigan are going to carry on playing at Lokes Park.
Well, that is a heavily loaded political question. As far as the club is concerned, until anything materialises, I think, but it's not really my province to answer that question. And as far as I know, we have no arrangements, no plans to move in the immediate future.
No, and we'd like to see more covered accommodation for the supporters. Is this possible?
Well, this is a very difficult question to answer. It was wanted yesterday, although fortunately the sun shone on the righteous yesterday, didn't it? It was possibly necessary yesterday. On the other hand, under normal conditions, Wickham, of course, is one of the best non-league grounds for cover, because both sides are covered, one with seating accommodation and the other with standing accommodation, and our normal crowd is 2,250, then we can cope with it. And putting extra accommodation up, of course, is very, very expensive. So again, I honestly can't see that as one of the things, the immediate plans, particularly if we are having to move grounds eventually.
Is there a likelihood that this could happen then?
Well, there's been a lot of talk in the town for many years, because the hospital board is anxious to develop a hospital. And
I would imagine, too, the noise on a Saturday can't help the patients.
No, obviously, I think the club, speaking on behalf of the club, obviously a hospital is far, far more important than a football club. But discussions have been going on for a long while now, and I'm not au fait with the present state.
The way the game went yesterday, with your chairman in hospital and watching the game from there, it's lucky it was gout and not a heart complaint, because he might not have lasted till the end of the game, I would think.
No, I think it could have started as gout and finished as a heart complaint.
But he had a good view, as did a lot of the players.
Yes. I don't know if he's listening now, but obviously, on behalf of all the players who went and had a dinner last night, we wish Jack a speedy recovery. He was there in spirit, and he saw everything going on, and I think it was a day he will never, ever forget.
Can I ask what the presentation was? Before the game started, you went out with Jack Charlton, and there was a cup on a table which Jack presented to you. There was a lot of noise at the time. It wasn't possible to hear distinctly what the public address announcer was saying.
Now, our local paper, the Bucks Free Press, if that isn't saying the wrong thing.
No. Go ahead.
I'll say it again then. The Bucks Free Press, which comes out on a Tuesday and Friday.
And gives Wickham Wanderers tremendous
coverage. Tremendous coverage. Honestly, I don't think any non-league club in the country could have got better coverage than we have had in this run. They really have done us proud. And it was one of their ideas to make a presentation to me commemorating the fact that we had reached the third round for the first time in the history of the club. And they had the idea that Jack Charlton, who I know anyway, would make this presentation before the game. A very difficult time to make any presentation. I can understand them wanting to do it, but honestly, neither Jack nor I were terribly concerned at that stage. We had other things on our minds. However, it went on. And the Bucks Free Press contacted Jack and asked him if he'd make this presentation, you see, and said, well, what is it? Well, it's got all the names on this trophy engraved, those that teams that we have beaten in getting to the third round of the Cup. And he said, well, are you leaving a blank disc for our name, or is this not a bit premature?
He must have known something.
He must have known something, yes.
Anyway, let's go on to our next call. Good morning. Welcome to Sportsline.
Good morning. My name is Gary Sorrow from Ilford in Essex. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
In reply to an earlier question, you said that you thought that amateur football was perhaps becoming of a higher standard than previous years. Do you think that the professional standard is a bit lower as well, and that we may see some non-league teams such as Wimbledon, Wigan or Wickham trying to gain election to the Football League at the end of the season and perhaps succeeding?
No, I think this is a different matter altogether. I think that the standard is coming down in a way, and we're going up. At least we're merging and we're mixing, we're meeting. I'm not saying for 1 minute the Football League standard is coming down. I would like to think that our level of football in non-league football was increasing. On the other hand, with the sheer economics, I can't see many clubs making serious applications to the Football League in our sphere of football. Not only from the travel point of view, but the necessary money that is required to launch into a professional club, the competition that we have in our part of the country, I think is as good as possibly the fourth division. And therefore, I can't see that. I think we will get stronger. I think, if anything, Football League clubs in the not-too-distant future might be applying to join the Rothmans Isthmian League.
There are strong rumours about in the game that at the end of this season, a lot of clubs will be unloading a lot of players, and Stockport County have already said they're in trouble in the fourth division. I think this is, with the current economic situation and the cost of running a football club now, in a competition like the fourth division, where you can be playing in Workington one week and down in on the south coast somewhere the next, it must happen, I think, that clubs are unfortunately going to go to the wall.
But I think so. I think it's sad, but I also think it's a good thing from our competition that we are relatively domestic. As I say, from Wickham, our longest journey is to Bishop Stortford, so all our supporters can go there if they want.
This,
to
of course, is another point. The supporters, right. With the cost of travel now, with petrol rocketing all the time, it still means that it's within the supporters' means to follow their club to all their league matches, which can't be a bad thing.
No, I think, in fact, the supporters are the club, or the club are the supporters. This is what it means. Ultimately, that the club can't exist without support, and if you can encourage that support to go around with you, then obviously it must be better for the whole club from being a viable and economic proposition.
Yeah. On to our next call. Good morning. Welcome to Sportsline.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. I'm first of all, obviously, congratulations on the tremendous result yesterday.
Thank you.
But I want to ask a couple of questions about the crowd.
Yes.
Firstly, why was it restricted to 12,000, which meant that 3,000 people couldn't get in to see. Well, given that the police limit for the Peterborough match was set at 15,000. Secondly, why was it that the crowd control wasn't as good as it was for the Bournemouth game? I mean, down at Bournemouth, when the police made sure that anybody with a dark and light blue scarf was at the Wickham end, and anybody with a red and black scarf was down at the Bournemouth end, and this resulted in a fight at the match yesterday, and I nearly had my scarf stolen on the way home by a Middlesbrough fan who promised me that the Wickham fans wouldn't get out of the station at the other end.
Well, obviously, it's very difficult for me to comment on this because I'm, again, not familiar with it. But if I could say, the crowd was restricted after consultation between the club, the committee and the local authority, including the police. And it was done because of crowd control, not so much in terms of Wickham people and Middlesbrough people, but just the total number of people. So that's the answer to part one, and we did it on advice, and
Middlesbrough, in fact, sent 1,000 tickets back, didn't they?
Yes, we sold them,
yeah.
But it was limited to 12,000, and I think it was limited in order to give those people the 12,000 space, and indeed a view of the game, which is important. I think it is much better. I can remember, for instance, as a boy going to a match at Manchester City's ground, and there were 76,000 there for a semi-final. And I didn't even see the ball unless it went in the air. And I don't think this is particularly good, because we could have had somebody on this morning complaining that too many people were in the ground and couldn't see.
Yeah, well, I'm 6 foot two, so...
Well, you're all right, but we've got to think of the little man. I'm not 6 foot two.
The thing was, I found that in the second half, I moved slightly. In the first half, I was right behind the goal at the gasworks end. But late in the second half, I was further over towards the gasworks. And it seemed to be very uncrowded. It was, one row on each terrace, and there's room for two, there really is.
Well, anyway, that's the reason for it, whether it was right or wrong, but I think if we had this situation again, I think I could quite safely say that when we play Sunderland, we'll have a few more there. And the second question, in terms of crowd control, obviously I don't know anything about the fighting, but I must say that this is one of the things that horrifies me about association football at the moment. I've said this in the press, and I have written in our club programme, as you know.
Yes.
We've had scenes at the ground which have been completely disgraceful. If there's one thing that's going to finish me with the game and with the club, it's that sort of thing. I can't see anything that is attractive about it at all.
I just couldn't understand why the Wickham police weren't as tough as the Bournemouth police were there, because...
Well, possibly. I mean, I wouldn't dare say anything about the Wickham police, but I... can only say that the Bournemouth people obviously are more familiar with the size crowds, and when we're not. We certainly don't expect any trouble.
But I'd have thought, I mean, at the beginning of the first half, the fight didn't come to the second half. Beginning of the first half, several Middlesbrough fans came down the Wickham end and were standing there right behind the goal and singing, chanting. I'd have thought that was obviously provocative, and why couldn't they just be thrown out and told to go back to their own end?
Well, again, I can't comment on this. I wasn't aware of any here. Any of these problems, so it's difficult for me to comment.
I think the problem at Wickham is, of course, your terracing goes around three sides of the ground, and there's no fence at any stage of it, is there? So it's not as if it's easy to set aside a portion of the ground for one set of supporters, because it's easy to get from one end to the other, isn't it?
Right end, can't you?
Sorry?
You can suggest that they go at the right end.
You can suggest, but you
red and white scarves. He's obviously not a Wickham fan.
Yeah, I agree, you can suggest, but when you've got a ground that is open on three sides, as Wickham is, without any barriers whatsoever, turning it into sections, it's difficult to ensure that any group of supporters stay in any one part of the ground, isn't it?
I've no doubt if we had crowds like this regularly, we would do something about it, but obviously 99% of the time we have 2,000 people with no problems at all.
And there are lots of fourth division sides who'd be pleased to have 2,000 people.
Quite right.
Anyway, let's hope that when Sunderland come, I didn't say if, I said when Sunderland come to Lokes Park in the fourth round, there won't be the same problems. Let's move on to the next call. Good morning. Welcome to Sportsline. You're through to Brian Lee.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
I have a twofold question. First of all, now that you're in the public eye, as it were, general public, what are your fears or whatever in being enticed into the professional football as a league manager? And secondly, what are your fears when playing teams such as Middlesbrough of losing some of your top players to possible signings?
Well, that's both interesting questions. The first is, I'm not keen to go into professional football because I like doing this. It's my hobby, Wickham Wanderers, and I'm quite happy to keep it at that level at the moment, but I have no desire to go into professional football full time, basically because I like the appetite business, as I was talking about earlier. And secondly, we have, as you know, have lost a number of players at Wickham Wanderers to professional clubs. Most of them, I think four or five of them in fact, have done their professional training and having attended colleges of education and trained as teachers or been to universities, and I think they have achieved almost as much as they could from a personal point of view, amateur international honours, and therefore they have accepted the professional football as a personal challenge, plus the fact that they are very sensible and think that they've got a very good chance of being successful as professional footballers, where the rewards nowadays are considerably greater than being a school teacher, for instance.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Because we had the classic situation a few years ago when Leeds United played Sutton, and as a result of that, John Faulkner went to Leeds, didn't he?
Yes. John, of course, went to Leeds and had an unfortunate time, and then is now playing very well at Luton. Mm. We've had a few players who have gone into professional football, and quite honestly, all of them have done well.
I'm sure there are lots of players over the years who, I mean, I recall Hendon in the heyday of Laurie Topp, for instance, so Roy Stroud. Roy Stroud eventually did join West Ham, although I thought he left it a bit too late in his career to do so. But Topp had offer after offer to turn pro, but in those days, of course, it wasn't worth so much to be a professional footballer, and he was happier doing it the way he was doing it, with a full-time job and playing for Hendon.
Well, I've no doubt that we have got in our competition players who are capable, but not all players want to go professional. I think this is important. We've got unfortunately a situation now whereby the personal achievement of attaining representative football, like an amateur international cap, has gone with the reorganisation, and I think this is a sad omission, and one of the saddest things that's happened, that a player at our level, in order to reach maximum personal achievement, has got to turn professional. In recent years, he's been able to play for his county FA in representative matches, he's been able to play for representative football association teams, and he's then been able to play for the England amateur team, and he's then gone on every few years to play for the Olympic team. And people like the two I mentioned earlier, who were both Wickham players, and Ted Powell and Laurie Pritchard, in fact achieved 50 caps or thereabout for England, and I'm sure that this did an awful lot for them as individuals and an awful lot for their clubs. Brought a great deal of honour, I think, to the clubs, this representation. And this is one thing we hope to put right through the Rothmans Isthmian League as soon as is possible.
This is Sportsline on BBC Radio London. You're listening this morning to Brian Lee, the Wycombe Wanderers manager. And if you have a question for Brian, just ring 408 2033. And we welcome the next caller on 408 2033. You're through to Brian Lee. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, you're through.
Oh, good morning. Mr. Lee, let me first add my congratulations to those of all the other callers.
Thank you.
In my view, we certainly deserved to win yesterday's game. In any event, the question I wanted to put to you arises indirectly, perhaps, from yesterday's game. I think everyone who saw it would agree that, overall, the game was a very clean one.
Yes.
But it was noticeable, I think, that Middlesbrough did commit a number of what are nowadays called professional fouls. And I wanted to ask what your attitude was to these. I mean, I want to press you a bit, because obviously, like the Archbishop asked about Sid, you're likely to say you're against it. And I want to pin you down a bit. Would you, for instance, censure one of your players who prevented a certain goal against you by tripping an opponent just outside the box, eh?
Well, as you know, if you have been a Wycombe Wanderers supporter for some time, our main aims are twofold, and these were met when we received sponsorship at the league from Rothmans. And the ideals of attacking football and sportsmanship, I think, can't be bettered. And therefore, I think it comes down to a manager, to a great extent, the sort of players that he has at a club and the sort of football they play depends on whether there are any discipline problems. I don't have discipline problems because I've got the right sort of people. I've always had the right sort of players at Wycombe Wanderers. We don't commit professional fouls. Should professional fouls, however, be committed, the player is given two chances and he knows it. We haven't lost any player through it at the moment. Obviously, it is very difficult to retire, you know, if you have been fouled, not to retaliate. But it is self-discipline that is wanted, and it's absolutely vital that people don't do it, because it brings the game into disrepute.
Yes, of course. I mean, there is a distinction here, isn't there? There is the, as you've just mentioned, the retaliatory foul, which,
yes,
as you say, is very difficult to control, an instinctive,
yes,
reaction when you are hurt, when you're suddenly brought down. But I was thinking more of the cold, sort of uninvolved foul, the one that is fighting for a point in an away game, you know, and the handling offence when you leap high in the air to stop the cross ball or something of this sort. And this is, seems to me, the rather cynical foul that ought to be stamped out. And I'm very pleased to hear you say that in the Rothmans Isthmian League anyway, it's very much frowned upon. I suspect that some managers in higher spheres, whilst not actively encouraging it, certainly seem to condone it these days.
Well, again, one can say that in higher spheres where you've got full-time professional football, the pressures are enormous.
Yes.
At our level of part-time football or an amateur football, we haven't got those pressures. I mean, quite honestly, my livelihood doesn't depend on being manager of Wycombe Wanderers. I do it as a hobby.
Right.
But I wonder if I'd be a different person if, in fact, feeding my wife and family depended on my success as a football manager, and therefore one starts resorting to all sorts of things to get the necessary results. I hope to goodness this never happens. It certainly won't happen to me, because I'd finish before it happened.
Yes.
And the other thing is, I have suggested tentatively, as a talking point, that if a player does commit an offence against us, and incidentally, there was a particularly bad one on television last night.
Indeed, there was.
A particularly bad one when a Liverpool player and Stoke player, I mean, really, there's only one thing, in my view.
It should be a penalty.
He should have gone. He should have gone.
It's a fair case for football to adopt a
Absolutely.
Similar rule to ice hockey, whereby in that sort of situation, with a player going in on the goalkeeper with no one to beat, if pulled down from behind, wherever it happens, that is, in ice hockey, a penalty shot. And
yeah,
it was a fair case there.
Absolutely.
Where a penalty should have been awarded.
I've also suggested, you see, that if a player commits an offence against Wickham, for instance, he has a name taken or is cautioned, and then eventually he has three of these or whatever the system is, and then he is suspended. It's of no benefit to Wycombe Wanderers that he's suspended. What we want is benefit from what has happened at that time, and therefore I would in fact like to suggest the player, if he has his name taken, would leave the field of play. And if that meant that the team was left with 10 men or 9 men or whatever, it would be 11 versus 10 or 11 versus 9, which presumably would be make an interesting game, could well result with more goals being scored, which in fact is the objective of the exercise. Now, only if in fact you do that, I think you've got to be cruel to be kind, only in fact if you dismiss players from the field of play will a lot of managers realise we can't endorse this, because we're not going to have enough players on the field to win games. And I think that you've got to be